And I have Rabbi Galperin with me on the line.
Good morning, Boker Tov, Ilan.
Good morning, Boker Tov to you too, Rabbi.
How appropriate is the song to open up with Boker Tov?
That's it, that's it. It's so good that there are some people that know Hebrew here in Windsor.
Well, it's good to be back on the air.
Yeah, it's very good after vacation, winter vacation. We went skiing, it was great.
Oh, that's so nice, beautiful. Yeah, no, so it's... But you know the parshas these weeks are absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, actually that's one parsha that my son had for his bar mitzvah last year.
The one coming up now.
Bishalach.
Wow, look at that! You see how fast the year goes.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So let's discuss the parsha.
Yes. So we see in this week's Torah parsha that soon after allowing the children of Israel to depart from Egypt, Pharaoh obviously chases them down as a change of heart, and the Israelites, the Jews, find themselves trapped between Pharaoh's army from behind and the sea in front of them. And God tells Moses to raise the staff over the water, the sea split, to allow the Israelites to go through, and the Egyptians obviously coming after that die, the water falls on top of them. And Moses and the children of Israel sing a song of praise and gratitude to God.
I remember that song that we had to learn. I remember I was in school, I think third or fourth grade, and we had to know it by heart.
That's right. Az Yashir Moshe.
Yeah.
So, no, absolutely. It's a beautiful song, which we say every morning in prayers. And then we also see that the Jews were then in Egypt, in the desert, and they're complaining to Moses and Aaron that there's no food and they're hungry and so on and so forth. And obviously, you know, everyone knows the story that God sent the manna and the water came from the rock, and then he also sent the shlav, the quails. So there were beautiful things that God was performing for the Jews while they were in the desert. And as they were going, coming to the water, God said to Moses, "Why do you cry out to me? Speak to the children that they go forward," because they came to the sea. The sea doesn't split. They're trapped. They're crying out to him, "We'd rather die. Let us go back to Egypt." So as they stood at the shore of the sea, the people of Israel were split into four factions. One faction said, "Let us cast ourselves into the sea." The second faction said, "Let us return to Egypt." Third faction said, "Let us wage war against the Egyptians." And a fourth faction said, "Let us cry out to God." Thus Moses said to the people, "Fear not. Stand by the sea and the salvation of God, which he will show us today. For you have seen in Egypt, for what they have seen in Egypt this day you shall not see them again anymore ever. God shall fight for you and you should be silent," is what it says in the Torah. "But don't worry about the Egyptians coming behind you. God will save you." Now to those who said, "Let us cast ourselves into the sea," he said, Moses said, "Fear not. Stand by and see the salvation of God." And to those who said, "Let us return to Egypt," Moses said, "As you have seen Egypt this day, you shall not see them again anymore forever." And to those who said, "Let us wage war against them," he said, "God shall fight for you." And to those who said, "Let us cry out to God," he said, "And you shall be silent." Now, these four factions really represent four possible reactions to a situation in which one's divinely ordained mission in life is challenged by the prevalent reality. Now, one possible reaction is, "Let us cast ourselves into the sea. Let us submerge ourselves within the living waters of the Torah. Let us plunge into the sea of the Talmud, the sea of piety, the sea of religious life. Let us create our own insular communities, protecting us and ours from the gods, the things out there that aren't godly." At the other extreme is the reaction, "Let us return to Egypt. Let us accept reality, recognizing that this is the Pharaoh who wields the power in the world, in the real world. Will do whatever we can under the circumstances to do what God expects from us." But it is imagine that we can resist, much less change the way things are. And then you have a third reaction. It's to wage war against them, to assume a confrontational stance against the hostile reality, battling the ungodly world despite all odds. And then you have the fourth reaction that's going to say, it's wrong to abandon the world, it's wrong to succumb to it, and it's wrong to fight it. The answer lies in dealing with it on a holy spiritual level. A single prayer can achieve more than the most secure fortress, the most flattering diplomat, or the most powerful army. No one understands what prayer can do. Now God rejected all four approaches, because while each of them has their time and place, it is important to create a level of holiness in a mundane world. It's also necessary to appreciate the nature of the reality and deal with it in its own terms. And it's also necessary to wage war on all-out war against evil. And it's always important to recognize that one cannot do it on one's own, and we must appeal to God for help. None of them is the vision to guide our lives and define our relationship with the world we inhabit. So which way do we do? What do we do? When the Jew is headed towards Sinai and is confronted with a hostile or indifferent world, his most basic response must be to go forward, not to escape reality, not to submit to it, not to wage war on it, not to deal with it only in a spiritual level, but to go forward, do another mitzvah, ignite another neshama, ignite another soul, take one more step towards our goal. And when we move forward, we will see that the barriers and the challenges yield, and they fade away. You will see that the reality is not so real after all, and that you have it within your power to reach your goal, even if you have to split some seeds together. So to run away from the world is not what God wants us to do. To wage war against the world and the reality, that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to move forward. That's what he told the Jews by the sea. They were in the biggest challenge that we could ever imagine. The army behind them, the sea in front of them. They were doomed. They were going to die. God says, move forward. And he performed for them that miracle. We in our lives sometimes get challenges. We succumb to the pressures of the world. We don't know how to deal with it. God gives us the answer. Move forward. Do another mitzvah. Learn some Torah. Help some other people. Be kind to people. Ignite another person's soul. Take one more step to our goal. And by doing that, then we can make this world down here not different to our beliefs or to our objectives and what we're trying to do, but we make this world part of what we're trying to do, which is make this world a better, kinder, and more peaceful place that God can call this place home. And that's what this week's Torah portion teaches us, and the message that each one of us can take in our lives, each one of us can take in our challenges. Never give up. Don't wage war against it. Just go forward.
That's nice. Rabbi, services at Shaarei Shamayim.
Services are Shaarei Shamayim / Shaarei Tzedek.
Yeah.
We have services Friday evening at 5 o'clock, and Shabbat morning are at 9:30, and Sunday morning we have the minyan as well at 8:15, followed by breakfast, which is after Shabbat. And we have Monday and Thursday morning for the community has a minyan in the JCC Paradise House at 7:15. So anytime anyone wants to come, there is something for them.
Rabbi, I want to thank you.
Thank you.
Wish you Shabbat Shalom.
Wish you a good Shabbat, and I'm looking forward to next week. We can talk about Tu Bishvat.
Tu Bishvat.
Because that is, I believe, Thursday is Tu Bishvat.
Yeah, that's my second birthday.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm Ilan. They say that it's a birthday to the Ilanot.
Right, okay, there you go.
Good, so thank you again.
No problem, and good Shabbat Shalom, and have a wonderful, peaceful and wonderful week.
Thank you, same to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.